Good morning, everybody. Were you blessed by the worship?
Amen.
Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. Why do we worship? Because we want to praise God. Yes, you're right. We want to glorify God. We want to exalt His holy name. We want to say thank you for the amazing things that He does. How many of you can testify that somewhere in this year, God blessed your socks off? Amen. Well, I was fully expecting somebody to start jumping up and down at least. I know some of the things God has done for some of you, and I want to tell you something, it's amazing. And you know what? We serve a God of miracles, signs, and wonders. And if you've ever wondered, I want to tell you something, the dispensation of miracles has not stopped. It's still around. And every now and then, God just supernaturally, divinely touches somebody's life and releases His power, and miracles still take place. Amen. You know, the Bible says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. I want to talk today about something that I do believe God wants everybody to understand a bit better. What is your name again? Alida.
Marley.
Came and spoke to me before the meeting started about a couple of things that's been going on in her life and in her family. And you know what? In talking to her about these things, God just impressed upon my heart that this is something that we need to teach on, because people don't always understand how this works. So, if you just bear with me, today I want to talk about strongholds. Today I want to talk about how the enemy uses strongholds to bring a lot of problems and a lot of destruction into our lives. And you know, one thing you have to understand, what is written in the Bible, even though it happened in biblical times, is still relevant to us today. You know, many times I have people say to me, but it was for that time only. No, my friend, please, let's get real. If the people in the day of John, Peter, Paul, Luke, Matthew, whoever, needed to know this information, how much more do we need to know this information today? Because you know what? We're getting closer and closer and closer to the end of the age. And the devil knows that he does not have a lot of time left. If the devil was busy in the days when Jesus walked the earth, if Jesus encountered demons and curses and problems in people's lives when they were just at the beginning of the age, we're 2,000 years further down the road. And who can tell me what is waiting for the devil at the end of this road? It's called the lake of fire. It's called the pit of hell. You can call it the abyss if you want, but it's going to be very, very bad for him. And you know what? Here's the thing about the devil. He's a sore loser. You've never met a sore loser like the devil. And he wants to take out his anger and his frustration on us. So every day we get a bit closer to the end of the age, he knows he's got a bit less time left. And the more he gets this feeling of anger and frustration, the more he wants to take it out on you and me. And therefore, we have to know how he operates. We have to know how he works. Why? So that we can, number one, protect ourselves, defend ourselves, but also deal with the problems when they arise. Let's look at this. Okay, let me first get to... Me and her, we spoke about something. And I'm going to sort of try and recall what we spoke about, because that gave me the initiative to talk about this today. There's a lot of people in this world that need help. Am I right? There's a lot of people that have demonic issues in their life. Okay, what are demonic issues? Let's first dispel popular myth. Demonic issues is not necessarily somebody that acts like the Gadarene demoniac, that runs around naked in the city, that cries and cuts themselves to bleed, and goes all lunatic and weird on everybody. All right, that is total possession. That is not being demonically afflicted. Being demonically afflicted includes a lot of things that we, to some extent, accept as socially acceptable. What is acceptable in the world and what is acceptable to God is two very different things. You can be demonically afflicted by a spirit of anger. You know what, we can say, oh, you know what, it's okay to be angry because you know what, we live in a world, we've got a lot of pressure, there's taxis turning in front of you, there's people doing this to you and that to you, it's okay. No, you know what, God doesn't want things to go that way. You can be demonically afflicted by a spirit of lust. Oh, well, it's okay, you know what, there's pornography everywhere, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not okay, you have to deal with that thing. The enemy will use whatever he can to come against you and to give you a hard time. You can be demonically afflicted by addiction. And you know, here's the thing. When we think of addiction, we immediately think, oh, you know what? He must be talking about somebody that's on crack cocaine or he's on cat or some weird drug. No. There's a lot of other addictions that is socially acceptable. You can be addicted to food. You can be addicted to Coca-Cola. You can be addicted to your computer. You can be addicted to your telephone. You can be addicted to all sorts of things. You know what? The Bible says, all things are permissible unto me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permissible unto me, but I will not be controlled by anything. When something controls you, instead of you controlling it, you have become addicted, and that is a problem in God's eyes. Yet we sometimes have no problem with those things. The devil will come against you any way he can. Okay. Does God want to help people with their demonic problems? Jesus said in his own words, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. Let's not even debate the issue. Jesus already put it clear to us. He wants to set captives free. God doesn't want your life to be bound by some stupid devil. But, and there is a big but that we have to understand here. In order for you to come to the place that you can be set free, it's probably going to take a bit of time. I want to dispel another popular myth. When somebody is demonically afflicted, you bring them to the pastor, he lays hands on them, he rebukes the devil is gone, their life is perfect. How's that working for you? There's some of you, yeah, you still got a whole bunch of the chokos that you came here with a year or two or three ago. Now, how does that work? Does that mean that God is impotent? Does that mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't have the anointing or the power? No. We need to find the problem with us. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people see the kingdom of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the authority and power in God's kingdom as a quick fix. I'm going to spend 30 years messing up my life, causing problems, sowing discord, mayhem, and who knows what upheaval. And then one day I'm going to come and cry in church. They're going to lay hands on me and pray for me. And all the rubbish and problems that I brought into my life is going to magically disappear. And I'm going to live a fairy tale life from that moment on. Well, I haven't seen it work for anybody else. So why would it work for you that way? You see, it doesn't. There's no quick fixes in God's kingdom. You can pass from darkness to light in a day, but it takes a bit of time to get the darkness out of your life. I'll give you an example from the Bible. You know the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they were slaves. And they were complaining every single day, oh, God's forgotten about us. Oh, God doesn't care about us. Oh, we have to suffer. Everybody is abusing us. Oh, we don't have enough food. We get beaten up. We have a horrible life. I mean, you know what? They were crying in God's ears every single day. And then one day God decided to have mercy on them. He raised up a man by the name of Moses, endowed him with supernatural power. Signs, wonders, and miracles happened through his hand. And God liberated them in an amazing supernatural way from slavery. You would think they would be happy, right? Well, go read your Bible. Man, all they did was complain. They just got liberated. In fact, if you go and read the book of Exodus, they've just passed through the seas on dry ground. They've just seen the whole entire Egyptian army die in a second. God's grace, glory, and majesty manifest in their midst. They get to the other side. The first thing they do is start complaining. And they speak these words. Oh, it would be better for us to go back to Egypt. At least there we had food, because you see now God took a bit too long to feed them. To leave Egypt is easy. To get Egypt to leave you is difficult. And you know what? We know different. To leave the world is easy. Lord, I come before you. I honor you. I confess all my sin to you. Lord, I'm so sorry. I've messed up. Please have mercy on me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Please help me and take me out of darkness. Bring me into the kingdom of light. Boom. Yes, salvation. You can cross over in a second if you mean business with God. It's easy to get out of the world. It's not that easy to get the world out of you. I want to ask you a question. How many of your worldly, let's call them habits, that you know in your heart of hearts is wrong, do you still do every day? Well, you see, it's easy for us to read the Bible and say, oh, you know what, these Israelites, look at how they treated God, but we battle with the same things. It's not that easy. It's not the effect of we come once, we get prayer, we oh Lord, you know, I've done this and this and this, pray for me and boom, everything is fine. It's a process. And I want to talk to you today about this process, because you have to understand that it is going to be a process. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christian believers who find the process too difficult, too taxing, too strenuous, and then they give up. But for what? The promised land is real, my friend. No, I'm not talking about Canaan. Canaan was reserved for the Israelites, but there's a promise for your life, a promise for your life, and a promise for your life. But you see, here's the thing that you have to understand. The Word of God says, they that run the race till the end will receive the crown. The devil knows. If he puts enough pressure on you and you back off, you've stopped running the race. Is there a prize for almost getting to the end? No, there's a prize for getting to the end. For staying true. For persevering. For digging deep and saying, I am going to do this. You know, when I was younger, some of you might have had the same. Do you remember the days of the LP records? Those big ones. When I was, yeah, the flying saucers, you're right. When I was younger, TV did not exist. That's going back many, many, many generations. And I think I was about 10 years old when we got a TV in the house the first time. So before then, the only thing that was worth spending time with was the LP records. And I used to have these records that we used to sit and listen to. And I had a record, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about this little train that went into the station, and he saw all these big trains and they were pulling these big wagons, and he was like, oh, but I'm just this tiny little train. And then all the other trains would look down on him, and they didn't want to, you know what, mix with him, and they were all rude to him. And then one day the big one broke and the second biggest one broke, and the only one left in the yard was the little train. And then the conductor comes to the little train and he says, oh, listen, yeah, we have big problems. The big ones, they can't do this. You're the only one that can do it. And he's like, oh, but I don't know if I can do this. And the conductor says, no, man, you just dig deep. You can do it. And then he starts off and he actually says it in Afrikaans. He gets hooked up, and then he takes a deep breath and he says, I know I can. And then you hear the wheels. He's like a little steam train. You hear the ch-ch. And then he says again, I know I can. And then it's like, oh, all these tracks, oh, all these wagons, they've moved. And then the little train gets all excited. And then he starts off, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. And there he goes. And I want you to understand something. That is how it is. Sometimes it's difficult to start. But it's only difficult to get going. Once you get going, it's not difficult anymore. The devil does want many times. He wants us to give up. He wants us to say, ach, it's too difficult. God is expecting way too much from me. The onslaught of the enemy is too great. How do I deal with all of this rubbish in my life? One at a time. God never expected you to do something phenomenal. Jesus did the phenomenal things on the cross. God just expects you to stick to it, work through it, sort it out, and live that life of victory. And I want to tell you something. If Peter could do it, and Paul could do it, and James could do it, and John could do it, and Matthew could do it, and all of those guys could do it, yet still have problems in their life, you can do it as well. And maybe you're a bit like that little train. Maybe people have told you many times in your life, you can't do it. You're too young. You're too stupid. Your background is not good enough. Your family is not prominent enough in society. I don't care. God enables those he calls. God equips us for what we are about to experience. And I want to say something else to you, my friend. God is never caught off guard with whatever is happening in your life. You want to tell me the God that knows the future somehow forgot yours? God knows the devil's plans before the devil even starts them. So getting back, sometimes people have this thing. They want to go to church. They got problems. They got issues. They want to be prayed for today, and then they want a certificate that says from this day forward, there will be no more problems. There will be no more issues. You're not going to battle. You're not going to suffer. Sadness will not touch your house. Poverty will never come and camp at your doorstep. And if it happens, then it's like, oh, you know, this Christianity thing doesn't work for me. My friend, it doesn't work like that. There's things you got to work through. We're all working through something. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did you hear that? Work out your salvation. In other words, salvation is not an experience. Salvation is a journey. And I'm not saying that it's going to take you forever to get to heaven. You cross the border when you accept Jesus into your life, but you can't hang around the border. You got to move away from the border. Your destiny is somewhere down that road. And the way to get there is to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, why is it a process? I'm going to explain to you why. Let's read the scripture. There's a couple of reasons, but today I want to focus on this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Look at your neighbor and say, bad news.
Bad news.
There's a war going on.
There's a war going on.
Now look at them and say, good news. You have everything you need to win the war. And you see, that's what it's about. You can complain as much as you want. You can perform as much as you want. You can hoi tantrums. I don't think that's going to change God's mind. The fact is, down here in the world, there's a war. And I'm not talking about the war in the Middle East. I'm talking about the war going on in your life, in your family, the war for your soul, the war for your children. There's a devil out there that doesn't want you to be successful. There's somebody out there that wants you to be negative and despondent and dejected and depressed and give up. But you're not going to. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. God expects you to wage war. There's no place for conscientious objectors in the kingdom of God. If you don't know what a conscientious objector is, it is those people who, when time of war comes, say to the government, it is against my religion to fight. Try telling the devil that it is against my religion to fight. He's going to be like, ah. Well, there we go. Easy target. God never asked you if you want to. God told you, you have to. The sooner you understand the process, the sooner you understand the principles, the sooner you go forward. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. There are weapons that we can use to fight the devil with. And God says if we understand them, and if we understand these weapons, and if we use them the way God expects us to, we will overcome. You know, people love to quote that scripture. We are more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens us. There's a lot of people that quote that scripture that have never conquered nothing in their life. Because to conquer something, you got to fight it. And you know, there's too many people that don't believe in the devil anymore. You know, one of our biggest church bodies in this country. About, I think it's 8 years ago, they had a big, call it indaba, I don't know what you call it, where all their big brain professors and whatever got together, and they analyzed the Bible. And they came to the shocking conclusion that there is no devil. But what they came to, the conclusion they came to, simply reflects what a lot of believers even believe. There's no devil. You know, a God of love doesn't do that. A God of peace doesn't do that. Then why is it in the Bible? Was God confused when he wrote the Bible? No. Because the Bible confirms itself. There is a devil. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to be a good father or a good mother or a good husband or a good wife. He doesn't want you to reach your destiny. He doesn't want you to be a light shining in a dark world. He wants you to be depressed and negative and despondent and cranky and upset and whatever. Why? Because then you stop running the race. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, listen to this. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. I was talking with her about a couple of things going on in her family right now. And I said to her, you can't just bring that individual to me and expect me to lay hands on them and rebuke all the demons in their life and now things are going to be perfect, because it doesn't work that way. Let me teach you something. Sometimes God's anointing is present to either heal the sick or cleanse the leper or raise the dead or cast out demons, because without the anointing, you can't do none of that. Yet even though the anointing is present, it doesn't touch certain people. Why not? Does God have favorites? No. But some people are at the place that they can receive it, and others are very far from that place. The Bible says we must demolish strongholds. Now let's ask the question, what is a stronghold? Let's just read a bit further, then I'll show you. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Check net vir my of ek daai rekord knoppie gedruk het asseblief. We demolish arguments. The King James Version, I believe, says we demolish imaginations. Okay, let's ask the question. Where is your imagination? Anybody? Did I state it? I did. Can everybody say praise God, hallelujah? I feel much better now. I had a moment there. I thought, oh. Anyway, we did record. Praise God. Okay, well, I don't care. We can delete the first part. Amen. Okay. Where is your imagination? This is your imagination. Now, here's what the Bible says. There's something up here that has to be demolished. What must be demolished? No, it's not your IQ. That's safe. Hopefully you have one and then we just bless it. Or otherwise we speak multiplication over it. Mr. Zuma, I multiply your IQ. I bless it. Amen.
I don't think he's got any
idea. Yeah, 0 times 0 is?
Zero.
I rest my case. Anyway, here's the thing. There's something up here that needs to be demolished if we are going to start winning the war. I want to ask you a question. How many of you want to start winning the war? If you're not raising your hands right now, you obviously don't want to win the war. Okay, I forgive her because she doesn't speak English. We'll explain to her later. The thing is, this is very important for us to understand. And this is one of the reasons why some people will never win the war, because they're not willing to demolish the strongholds. Okay, I'm going to explain to you where I want to go with this. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing this to the Corinthians, he was staying in an area near Corinth that had a very big and powerful castle built. And the castle was built on a cliff face or at the edge of a cliff face. But the whole area was actually, it went out into the sea. So if I could sort of draw you, this was like the cliff, and then it went out, and then it came back in. And in this area that went out, that's where they built the castle. Now, you could not get up those cliffs from the ocean side. So on three different sides, this castle was impenetrable. The only way to get to this castle, which is also called a stronghold, was to come from the front. But it was so well fortified and so well defended that at the stage when he wrote this, it had never ever been conquered. Now he's talking about war. And he says, before you can win the war, you have to first demolish the strongholds. Now, why must we demolish the strongholds? Because the devil that you need to get to is hiding inside that stronghold. You see, here's what you need to understand. Over time, when demons or evil spirits, call it the family curse, call it the generational curse, call it witchcraft or sorcery, I don't care what it is, something dark that came from Satan's origin. When it enters your life, the first thing it begins to do is it begins to fortify itself. It begins to build a structure around itself to protect itself. Now, sometimes we have people coming for prayer, and the stronghold that is within their mind that this demon has built up around it has been there for such a long time that it rivals the one in Corinth that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Do you take a hammer and whack that wall that's probably 10 foot thick once and it breaks down? No. Then how do we get the devil out of there if he's that well fortified and that well protected? We can't. We first have to start the process of breaking down the strongholds. How do we break down the strongholds? The Bible says your mind must be renewed. A stronghold has something to do with wrong thinking and wrong outlooks on life. You know, like when the pastor tells you you can do all things through Christ Jesus, something answers back, no, you can't. Have you ever had that? Come, be honest. It's like, or there's a sermon on prosperity and we say, anybody can prosper. But you can. But you see, you have to deal with the stronghold. A stronghold works mainly in the mind. You know, like when there's a good sermon on prosperity. Does God want you to prosper? Okay, let's get one thing straight. We're not all going to be millionaires. Your destiny is not all to be millionaires. Your destiny is to be good at what God called you to do. But you should have sufficient to live a good life in what God has called you to do. Amen? Amen. And immediately when we speak about prosperity, something says, oh no, it'll never happen for you because everybody in your family always battles and suffers. What are we dealing with? A stronghold. Something is inside that stronghold. It has fortified itself very well. And every time when that type of a message comes, it answers you back. The Bible says we must demolish arguments. Have you ever had something argue in your mind? It's like a sermon is preached and something in your mind starts arguing back. Oh, but it's not like that. Oh, it doesn't work like that. Oh, God will not do it for you. Arguments. What must we do? Fight it. How must we do that? First, you have to break down the stronghold. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty. The Word of God is a fire. The Word of God is a hammer. And as the Word of God is preached and we submit to the Word of God, we give God the opportunity to help us to break down that stronghold. But we also have to renew our mind. Because you see, what begins to happen is the argument becomes your argument after a time. If the devil has said no enough in your mind gets trained. No, it won't work. It's not going to happen. It's only for some people. It's not for me. And then the devil doesn't say nothing anymore. In fact, the devil is just quiet. Why? Because you're doing all his work. Let's talk about doubt. Has anybody in this place ever had doubts? Doubt is a stronghold. It's like the sermon says, God is for you, not against you. Immediately something says, but if I look at my life, that's not true. What is that? That's doubt. What is he doing? He's getting you to discount the Word of God. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you doubt the truth, how can you ever be set free? I'm sorry. You have to deal with the strongholds that have entered your life. And that is why, you know, sometimes we have people that come to these meetings, they definitely have demonic problems. But when we pray for them, nothing happens. You know why? Because the stronghold is too big and too powerful, and they have not gone down the process of breaking down the stronghold. Therefore, the thing is protected. Again, listen to this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. What is the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3? What is the context? It's warfare. Okay? It can't be anything else because he's talking about warfare. And then he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, he starts by talking to us and saying to us, guys, catch a wake up. There is a war going on and it is for your soul. You got to win this war. And then he says, in order to come to the place that you can begin to win this war, one of the first things you have to do is start dealing with your mind. I want to tell you something. Your mind is an enemy to God. Why did the Pharisees always oppose Jesus? Because their minds could not accept what he taught. When he said, I am the Son of God, when he preached that I will break down this temple, or you will break down this temple, and after 3 days I will rebuild it again, they were like, oh, this is stupid, this is ridiculous, oh, this will never happen, oh, this man is, he's the devil himself. Where did they get that stuff from? It came from their minds. Their minds opposed the work of the Spirit of God. If they battled with it, what makes you think you don't sometimes battle with it too? You see, our minds can sometimes be God's biggest enemy. And your mind is often the battlefield where things take place. Have you ever received a prophecy? I'm just throwing something out there. Let's say you're in a church one day and a prophecy comes out. The Lord says that one day you are going to be phenomenally prosperous, and through you, God is going to touch the lives and enrich the lives of thousands. Wow. What a word. What happens immediately? Oh, that's never going to happen. I can't even pay my bills today. How is that ever going to... Who's talking? The stronghold. Why? Because he immediately wants you to discount what was just spoken. And if he does that enough times, you accept what he says instead of what God says. The stronghold wins. What must you do? You got to break down the stronghold. You have to fight that thing that likes to talk to you in your mind. How many of you have got the thing that keeps telling you you're not good enough? Come, be honest. Okay, there's about four honest people in this place. I want to tell you something. I'm not stupid. I've been around the block a couple of times and I've counseled thousands of people. Just about everybody, I would say 90% of all humanity battles with this thing. I am not good enough. I am not worthy. Somebody receives a good word, I'm not worthy. Oh, no, no, no. God can use Alberto because he's a pillar of society, because he's a wonderful man. That's why you married him, didn't you? I thought so. Hey, Alberto, he's the one that, no, I can't do this. Why? Says who? You want to tell me God makes mistakes? I don't think so. Not the God that I read of in the Bible. But this thing begins to talk to you. Oh, it's not going to happen. It's not like this. It's not like that. It's arguing with you because it wants you to discount what was just spoken. There is an argument starting in your mind. Don't let the argument continue. Put your foot down. Rebuke that thing. Tell him to shut up and footsack. And you start the process of breaking down the stronghold. Some of you have a stronghold of rejection. Your mind tells you that people don't like you. Come on, don't tell me it's not true because I know. It's like you walk into a room and because two or three people didn't greet you, regardless of the fact that they haven't even noticed that you've walked into the room, it's already like, oh, I shouldn't have come here. You know, these people don't like me. Oh, they didn't want me here. I think I'm going to leave. The stronghold pushed you out of there. Not the people. The argument that started in your mind convinced you that you're not wanted. It's called a stronghold. And that stronghold will destroy your life. And you cannot allow that stronghold to destroy your life. A lot of us right now are in a war somewhere. In fact, all of us. But you know what wars are like. Sometimes you fight on the front line, and sometimes you go through a bit of a lull. You know, the Second World War was very bloody and very gory, but there was many days that they didn't actually fight. So sometimes we are in the thick of the fight, and sometimes we have a bit of a respite from the fight. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but I want to tell you something. In the global picture, you are in a war. Something doesn't want you to succeed. And what you're going to do in this war will determine whether you get through the war or not. God wants you to get through the war. But in order to do that, you got to start doing the basic things right. When the Bible says we must renew our minds, listen to this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Our minds can sometimes be very opposed to how things are in the kingdom of God. And you got to fight that thing and train your mind to be godly. You know, did Jesus walk on water? Yes, he did. Your mind will say to you, no. You know what? Sometimes, and I'm not trying to be nasty or ugly, it's just the way I've seen it. The cleverer you are, the more you battle with this stuff. Somebody with an IQ of 100 doesn't battle as much as somebody with an IQ of 140. Because when your IQ is very high, sometimes you have this thing, everything must make sense. My mind has to process it. Process walking on water, you can't. Process raising the dead, you can't. Process turning water into wine, you can't. These things operate by faith. And sometimes these things are a stumbling block to our minds. What is important? What God says. It's not how you see things. It's how God sees things. It's not what you believe. It's what God says that is important. It's time for us, all of us, to come to the place that we say, Lord, I understand that my mind is one of my biggest obstacles. And the devil still has an enormous amount of power in my mind. And it's time for me to put my foot down and fight. Because I want to win this war. And I want to make you a promise. You will win the war. Amen. If you start doing what God expects you to do. The next time you are listening to a sermon or reading the Bible on your own, and there's something in there that touches your heart, and immediately this argument starts in your mind that it's not like that, or it's only for that days, and you know what? It was only the Apostle Paul that could do these things. You put your foot down, you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I destroy this stronghold. I will not allow doubt in my mind. Futsak, go. And you know what? Every time you do that, you begin to break down. How do you break down a huge big castle? One brick at a time. But if you keep going at it, there's going to come a time when those walls have weakened and they begin to fall apart. And that's when that one day you come to church and you never expected much to happen and boom, the power of God is released and there's victory. But victory comes because you did what God expected you to do. Amen? Amen. Victory comes because you did what God expected you to do. He goes on, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Sometimes there's things in us that questions the knowledge of God. What must you do? Fight it. Don't accept it. Fight it. And let me teach you something. Sometimes you are going to be encountering people that the spirit of the Antichrist will speak through them. They will question everything in the Bible. Don't argue with them. In fact, the Bible warns us not to argue about religious matters because nobody profits from it. Because can I tell you what tends to happen 9 times out of 10? You don't convert them, they start converting you. No, I'm sorry, but it's true. That's why you should not argue with people. You know what? If somebody wants help, they must come and receive help. It's no use you want to try and argue with somebody. I'm going to show you something. Stand on this chair quickly. Stand on the chair. Don't break it. Just stand on it. Okay. Pull me up. Pull me up. Oh, you're not strong enough. What's going to be easier, for him to pull me up or for me to pull him down? Look at this. There's nothing to pull him down. When you begin to argue with people about religious matters, that's kind of like how it is. They up there, and they're going to... You up there, they down here, and before you know it, these arguments of theirs begin to run through your mind, and you're like, oh, but you know, maybe they have a bit of a point there. Like, oh, maybe it's not like that. Stop it. You know what you know? If they want to learn, they can come to you and learn. If they want to argue about things, listen, yeah, that's the way I see the Word of God. When you want to understand things better, come to me. When you're not in a fighting mood, we're not going to argue about the Word of God. It's plain, it's clear. You study it for yourself then. Don't argue with people about this. You get upset, you get frustrated, your heart is troubled, and you begin to doubt afterwards because of that spirit that speaks through them. Don't. Just leave it. Pray for them. Bring them before God. Intercede on their behalf. But stop arguing. Amen. Amen. And then he goes on, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient. You have to make your thoughts obedient to the Word of God. When a thought pops into your mind, I'm useless. I'm a loser. What must you do? Those thoughts come to everybody. You have to make it obedient. You tell that stronghold in Jesus' name, devil, I curse you to the pit of hell. You shut up. I don't want you speaking into my mind. You do not come into my thought life. I am more than a conqueror. You use the Word of God. You put him in his place. And I want to tell you something. Very soon, the stronghold is going to crumble. Don't let the enemy dictate where your thoughts go. Let the Word of God dictate where your thoughts go. Somebody does something to you. Oh, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to... What's happening in your mind? The devil is... Who's the murderer? The Bible says Satan was a murderer from the beginning. Who's speaking in your mind? It's the devil. You can't leave that. You got to put your foot down and say, hey, stop it. I will not accept this. I rebuke this in Jesus' name. Lord, I forgive that person 1,000 times over. I bless them in Jesus' name. And suddenly it's like, all those thoughts disappear. Why? Because you put your foot down. And the stronghold is taking knocks. And before you know it, the stronghold will break. And God will give you victory. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. In other words, when your mind is disobedient to the Word of God, don't accept it. Put your foot down and fight back. Because 9 times out of 10, it's the enemy busy with your mind. Amen? Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Well, praise God.